The following is a presentation of Grace Covenant Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
For taking care of class for me last week, I appreciate that. As a quick recap, we are in the section of Romans we've categorized as service, okay? This section began with Paul calling all believers to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. And when we do this, the result is service. Serving God through serving one another. And this is what we're going to spend really these last five chapters of Romans all about. Serving God through serving one another in service. Now, the first component needed to be of service in God's kingdom, as we saw from the first 11 chapters of Romans, is a transformed heart. A regenerated heart as a child of God is the first thing that you need. The second thing is a renewed mind. And when these two things are combined, a transformed heart and a renewed mind, you will live in service to God, a living sacrifice, as he calls us. So in the last couple of weeks, we've looked at how this service to God has three vital components. In verse 3, we saw the humility, knowing that you don't have it all, and what you do have comes from God. So being humble. 2, unity, as we saw in verse 4. It's about the body. The body of the believers, having unity in the body. And 3, individuality. And that's where we get to today. We are one body, but not all the same functions, which is where we pick up this week with our differing gifts. All right? So, Ava, if you wouldn't mind reading for us Romans 12, just read 6 through 8, if you would. Nice and loud. Thank you. All right, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you again for another day, a time to be here, to worship, a place to gather, to sing praises to you, to read your word, to study your word, to hear your preaching. We thank you for this. I thank you for those that are here, and we pray your spirit will give us guidance, give us wisdom, give us understanding, bring conviction towards us. We pray, Father, for repentance as we seek to take your supper today, that you'll be preparing our hearts and minds for this special worship. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together as a body with individual gifts to serve you through serving one another. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last week, I believe Mr. Lamar made it through the first half of verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. The next clause very simply says, let us use them. So, kids, in the context of this, when he says, let us use them, kids, what does he mean? What is the them? Let us use what? What is he referring to?
Our gifts.
Our gifts, exactly. Thank you. What is a gift, as Paul means it? Not necessarily the categories of specific gifts, but he says, let us use our gifts. What does that mean? What is a gift? What is he talking about here?
Emory got it because she read it in a book.
Job,
Emory.
That's good. So what is a gift? Like I said, not the specific individual ones, but in general, what is a gift? What's Paul talking about? So Paul in this verse says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them, the gifts. What is a gift? What's he talking about?
He does.
Would be a gift, yes. In the context here, what's he talking about?
He talks about prophecy,
service,
exhortation, generosity.
So those are specific gifts. Mm-hmm. But categorically, what's a gift? What does he mean?
Maybe a toy?
Something you received that you didn't earn. Absolutely. Yes. Okay. 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 So a supernatural gift, not our standard, what we talk about, talents and abilities, but a supernatural gift. Okay. Okay. So it's something that you, to sum those up, something that you don't earn, that you've been given, and something that is supernatural, not just a honed or a ability, but a supernatural gifting of some kind. All right, what else? What's he talking about? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that, depending on the context, is not always translated. In English, it's translated gift, but it's favor.
Favor.
What means favor.
Okay.
So, what he's driving at is the things that God has endued the believer with based upon his favor. It is for the education of the believer, but more than that, it's for the use of the body. So the gift, as we have spoken, described it here, is never intended for the elevation of the individual.
Okay.
It strikes against some of the charismatic theology.
So to add to their definition, you added a couple things to it. You know, one we say it's something you didn't earn that was given to you. Okay, something that's supernatural. You said it was something for believers. So this is not for everybody. This is for believers. And then there was a second thing that you added to that. Yeah, for others or for the body. Yeah, so a supernatural gift that you didn't earn, given only to believers for the edification or growth of the body. Excellent. What I had wrote out, very similar, was individual abilities that are sovereignly and supernaturally bestowed by the Holy Spirit into all believers for the purpose of spiritually edifying each other, thus honoring the Lord. And so the same thing, not for us. What? We don't get to pick it? I thought that's the whole point of taking the test and... Isn't that how it works? Man. Mm-hmm.
And spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we confuse those two a lot.
Sure.
You know, we have a natural ability or a talent to do such and
something.
Such, and then we say, oh, well, then that's my spiritual gift.
Yeah.
No, because a lot of times with spiritual gifting, it's something that you don't normally have a talent for, or something that you wouldn't naturally be talented towards, or else it's up to you. Spiritual
potentially.
Gift,
yeah.
The gift, and I'm speaking in generalities. I know there's some crossover. And
sure.
You know, there's some consistency and parallelism there, but for the most part, spiritual gifts would be things that you just normally wouldn't do in and of yourself.
Yeah.
Went back to normal day.
Yeah. And these are the things Paul is encouraging us here, as he says, let us use them. He is encouraging us to actually use the gifts given to us by God. Now, I don't believe that Paul is primarily concerned in this passage with simply telling us what these gifts are, you know, telling us to use them. I don't believe that that's primarily what's that. I think there's something else. You know, have you ever heard someone say, well, it's not what that person said to me, it's how they said it that hurt my feelings. You know, it's not what they did. It's the way that they did it that really bothered me. You ever heard that before? When someone says that, what are they typically meaning by that? What's the intention that they're trying to convey when they say that phrase?
Well,
Okay. Sure. Maybe the you feel the intention was different than the act.
Okay. All
right. The spirit of the gift. Okay. Sure. Sure. The motivation. Yeah. That's not literally what they're saying, yeah. 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 Yeah, I think how we do things, how we say things, are many times more important than what we do or what we say. What is the manner with which we are carrying something out? What is the attitude with which something is being done or said? You know, I think that's what's meant to convey behind that phrase. And from the way this passage is worded, I believe Paul is less concerned with telling us what our gifts are and more concerned with informing us of how to use these gifts, the way in which we are supposed to carry these out, the manner with which they are supposed to be displayed. Now, from actually looking at the text in 6, 7, and 8, what do you see in there that might lead me to say, hey, it's more about the how. It's more about the way in which you're displaying these things than the gifts themselves. And so what do you see in there that might lead me to say that?
That's not fair. If you're hedging off the what you mean question, that's exactly what we
want to
ask you. What do you mean by saying that? Now
you
turn it around.
That's right. I get to ask the questions. So what do you think? What do you see in there that potentially might make me say it's that he's getting at the how it's carried out, the manner of these gifts, not just the listing of gifts?
First of all, that it is carried
out. Okay.
Because there are those that will come to church and you say, I've done that long enough.
Mm.
I'm in. But if you're gifted teachers, there's no time in it. If you're gifted administrators, there's no time in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
And he shows us when he writes like this, is he's saying, number one, let's do them. That's obvious.
Absolutely.
And then, but then it goes ahead and says, and do it in the way that the gift is bestowed.
Okay.
There's an administrator, for example. It is a gift to be an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that early on, even in secular life.
Sure.
Administrators of schools are administrators, and you know anywhere you see them in town. And that's different from the teaching. So if a teacher decides, I'm going to be an administrator. So if a teacher in the church decides, I'm going to go administer by being head of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in your gift, you'll not see these results. They said, well, we're going to serve. Well, you'll see that in their serving.
Mm. Okay.
When they're exhorting, you'll see that in their exhorting.
Yeah.
The gift is followed by service.
Having the gift is followed by exhibiting, using, doing. Absolutely.
And yeah. We are charged with
exhibiting the gift. As he said, let us use them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, without revisiting the discussion from last week, we have to go back to this little phrase that we so often read over.
Mm-hmm.
Gifts are different according to the grace.
Okay. Why would we need to go back to that phrase?
Because that's the parameters.
Okay. That's how we get the gifts, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, to your point, there's a lot in that. According to the grace given us, that would imply the settings that you're in. That would imply the degree that you've been given them. That would imply the others that you're around, because as Pastor Rusty said, the gifts are not, they are not exhibited in a vacuum. They're exhibited for the body, which means they're in the body, which means they're in conjunction with others, which is all in relation to the grace given you, because God is the one over all of those different mechanisms. Yeah.
In verse 6, the word having,
okay,
gifts, the word having, the Greek word echo, is possessed. That was a participle. So it's talking about an ontological condition. having gifts at different points of grace given to us by the favor, the one given to us with Didomai, but that's another partisan, that's an error partisan. But in the introductory phrase of verse 6, having gifts at different points of grace given to us, there are two participles in that opening phrase.
Okay.
So there's two ontological or essence indicators in that opening phrase. So it seems to me, just from the structure of the what Paul is giving us, that that's exactly what he's doing. He's giving us kind of a philosophical, overarching, how do you use the gifts kind of information.
Yeah.
As opposed to a didactic teaching on the gifts themselves.
Yeah.
Compare this list to other lists in the New Testament,
sure,
it's much, much shorter. So he doesn't,
yeah,
he doesn't go into all the various gifts. So yeah, I think where you're headed with this, if I'm understanding you correctly, is that the emphasis is not so much on the mechanics of gifting, other than how are we to use the gifts that we receive within the body, which fits with this whole section of Christian servants. Establishing the groundwork. When we get into the mechanics, discover the big picture of philosophy, that gifts are not to be used to separate people in various strata and classes in the church. Gifts are to be used primarily for the glory of God and for the edification of God.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's one thing that I was asked about after last week. These are just generality. Because you're going to go into it further on where it just goes all, because not all of us are in these few gifts that are listed here.
Sure.
You know, and some of us are simply encouragers. We'll get into that whenever we get to
the
business.
Yeah.
I don't think sometimes people don't realize how much they encourage other people.
Sure.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Many times, in the body of God.
Well, and so what you see here, after each one of these giftings, is a little clause. And the clause is really the how, the manner. You know, you see here, if prophecy, how? In proportion to our faith. The one who contributes, well, how should he carry it out? In generosity. The one who leads, how should they carry it out? With zeal. So you see this expectation, the expectation's already laid out, you should use them, but I think he's clarifying here in the how, the manner, and we'll get further into that, but I wanted to start with that. Coming back to what Pastor Rusty said a minute ago, I'd also believe that Paul is speaking very big picture. What are the attitudes, what are the ways, what are the reasons and big pictures of the gifts, without going into a ton of detail. And really to talk more about that, I kind of want to back up a little bit in this passage. When Paul starts this section in verse 3, he tells his readers to be humble, to have humility. He says, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Okay? I think that the concept of humility is rarely ever more important than it is when we are talking about spiritual gifts. So, before y'all ask me why I would say that, I'm going to ask y'all, why do y'all think I would say that? I saw a lot of not in agreement, so if you agree, you might have a reasoning of your own, but why do you think this concept of being humble, not thinking of yourself greater than you are, is extremely valid and pertinent, particularly to the manner in which we carry out our gifts? What do you think?
It's a precursor for what he's about to say. He said, first and foremost, you be humble. Now, if you have this gift, do it to this extreme. Do it to the extent of your faith. Do it as much as you can for the glory of God. But, you know, before he tells you that, you know, he'll say, first off, be humble.
All right.
Go ahead and know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's an attitude that precedes it all.
And also humility and pride. Pride is a sin. It's a heavenly gift. But we're dependent upon each other in the church. We're not super.
Yeah.
We need one another. And we are in this thing.
Yeah.
That's where our sharpens our.
Absolutely.
Right. It's so much needed, especially our day and time with this. Such a fierce individualism that so many people can believe they can walk through. I feel like they can faith by themselves, but they're not believing in the
Father. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's counterintuitive to what many of us are hardwired or just naturally.
That is also true. The chair acknowledges Miss Nancy. Not exercise the gift appropriately as it was intended. Yeah. Absolutely.
The same way that Christ comes to himself. His entire ministry is characterized by a humble man, that is a humble man. We're constantly reminded that we don't have to do things of what's given to us.
Absolutely.
To work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He re-emphasizes grace and faith.
Very much so. Yeah. You've been waiting so patiently over there.
Yeah. You know me, I like to hear about this. I'm also there, but you'll have to. Well, I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, how quickly does this show us that we're not being regulated by the Word of God? I would argue that all of the gifts that God has given have equal merit.
Mm-hmm.
They're of equal value.
Sure. Absolutely.
But yet, we've heard in a couple different answers that we tend to place our own value on certain gifts. We value some gifts above others. And so that tells me right there that we're not letting the Word of God regulate our thinking related to the gifts. Now, they're not all used the same.
Sure.
And some of them are more public or more visible than others. That is true. That doesn't mean that the gifts that tend to be more behind the scenes are any less important.
Absolutely.
And so, if we're looking for a diagnostic to know, okay, am I really being regulated by the Word of God? Am I really accepting the authority of Scripture as it's been given to us in a way that materially influences my way of thinking and way of acting? Here's a really good way to diagnose that.
Yeah.
Because how do I view the gift I've been given as a believer? Do I even believe as a believer that I've been given a gift? I've had believers that didn't believe they've been given a gift.
Yeah, true.
So both of them, if I devalue my gift as not being as important as the gift that somebody else has,
yeah.
Or if I don't even really believe I've been given a gift, then I am not
my thinking is not being regulated by the Scripture.
Yeah. Yeah, I think y'all are all absolutely right. There is a tendency, a need for humility because of the tendency to rank order giftings. I think there is also, please. And that's a great point. There's a tendency in pride and ranking gifts, but there's also a tendency in pride on all gifts being the same, but feeling pride in your own gift. And a lot of that I see in here because if you'll notice in every single one of the gifts, there is a giver and a receiver. So, for example, in prophecy, there is someone prophesying and there is someone receiving the prophecy. In service, there is someone serving and someone being served in the body. In teaching, someone is being taught. And leading, and someone is being led. And once again, this all being in relation to the body, there are two sides of this, the giver and the receiver. Humility is giving the gift without pride in and of yourself and being the giver. But also humility is receiving the gift without any self-pity about having to receive it. And so I think it's both sides of this is the humility. You know, if you tend to feel, as you were saying, that my ability to give this gift is so special, that's the pride. But then the other side of, I'm always having to be taken care of, woe is me, that's self-pity. And that's a problem as well. But they're both self-focused. And I think one of Paul's intended purposes in almost everything he writes is to stomp out pride wherever he sees it. You know, that's a very common thing for him. And particularly if you're on the giving end of these gifts, no matter what the gift is, there's a large tendency towards pride. And go ahead. Absolutely is. It's a sense of self-focus.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So, you know, we need to be cognizant of that.
Yeah.
And I know, well, there's different seasons. Everybody has seasons of
higher sure. than it would be difficult to do that. How about folks that just chronically and habitually, I mean, if the sun is shining 75 degrees and sunny, the weather is nice, the world is great, and they're going to find something wrong. We need to not go too far
sure.
the other direction as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the warning to humility is about both sides, being the receiver and the giver. Mr. Robert?
I like
the
old King James Version. Mm-hmm. It says, "Let the reason your reasonable purpose."
Yeah.
No matter what we do, there is no reason to be humble. I mean, no reason
to be. It's true. You like that one better? Quote here by John Calvin, and it's a little bit lengthy, but in particular, listen to the part where he's talking about no one individual having all the gifts to their fullness. And so just listen to this view. He says, Paul especially intended to beat down the pride which he knew to be innate in men, and that no one might be dissatisfied that all things have not been bestowed upon him. He reminds us that according to the wise counsel of God, everyone has his own portion given to him. For it is necessary to the common benefit of the body that no one should be furnished with the fullness of gifts, lest he should heedlessly despise his brethren. Here then we have the main design which the apostle had in view, is that the gifts of God are so distributed that each has a limited portion, and that each ought to be so attentive in imparting his own gifts to the edification of the church, that no one, by leaving his own function, may trespass on that function of another. By this most beautiful order, as it were symmetry, is the safety of the church preserved, when everyone imparts to all in common what he has received from the Lord, in such a way as not to impede others. He who inverts this order fights with God. For the difference of gifts proceeds not from the will of man, but because it has pleased the Lord to distribute his grace in this manner. And so we see differing gifts.
You have a group, you say a large Pentecostal church, everybody there all speak in tongues, and yet this large church has an higher custodial group with us. Does anyone get that
view?
Sure.
When you're not humble in your own yeah. gift, you're showing pride yet. Sometimes that draws others to think, oh my goodness, I should have that gift like he has.
Yeah.
And then you end up with a whole group, and you know, everybody thinks it comes with no one translates.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's get into the gifts a little bit here. Somebody list for me verse 6 through 8. What are the gifts? As Paul lines them out. Somebody list them for us. Prophecy, serving, teaching. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I found something interesting in going through this passage. There's, in general, there's about two different ways that people look at it. A lot of folks look at it as this is a listing of seven different giftings, separate, distinct, seven. There's another group of folks that say, well, okay, it's really two categories with giftings underneath them. The two categories are prophecy or verbal gifts and serving or nonverbal gifts. And prophecy is broken down underneath it into teaching and exhortation. And service is broken down underneath it into contribution, you know, contributing, leading, and doing acts of mercy. And so, seven distinct or two different categories with two under one category and three under the other. So, I'll throw it out there and say, what say you?
From the structure of the text, it tends to lean itself more to the second.
Okay.
Two major categories under which he gives some examples.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I tend to think the same way. I tend to think that there it's two categories. And here's why. First of all, I tend to think that way because, off the top of my head, John Calvin, Matthew Henry, John Gill, and a whole list of others think that way as well. So, okay. They've probably studied a little longer than I have, so I'm feeling good company. But the second is, in really looking at it, the first time I read through this, I felt like they were kind of all the same. The sentence structure, the wording was the same. But then the more I started to examine them as two different categories, even the words used here are very different. Not only in the English, but also in the Greek, of course. For example, the first two are nouns. If prophecy, if service. Those two are nouns. The other five are all verbs. These are all action things here. Exhorts, contributes, leads, acts of mercy, teaching. These are all verbs. So you have two nouns and five verbs. So that's interesting. And then you've got this thing where the first two have the caveats, if you will. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving. And then all the other fives are about his teaching or, you know, individualistic. And so you've got this distinction here between the two and the five that seems pretty prominent. Particularly if you look at it in the categories of verbal categories, prophecy, nonverbal, and serving. So those are at least the reasons why I think that that they are distinct. What's time we got here? We were going to jump right into them and get through them this week, but we got about 4 minutes left. And I don't know that 4 minutes is a long enough time to discuss what is prophecy. So we're going to do that next week. All right. We're going to dig into prophecy next week. So, but I think the big picture thing to see from what we've talked about this week is how Paul is wanting to show the manner in which, first of all, use your gifts. You have them, use them. Second of all, what is important is how you use them. And the overarching manner in which they need to be used is humility. All right? And then we'll get into the individual ones, what they mean, and kind of what he's going from there next week. So let's take a break, and we will get back together in a few.